Live from the launching pad in Sedona, Arizona, this is the Progressive Technology Hour, and I'm your host, Dr. Houdini.
I believe that Planet X is actually a spent brown dwarf star. I think that it's at least the size of Saturn, but probably much more massive. And I believe that it's a celestial body that is connected to our solar system. This particular subject is little understood and not very much accepted by most modern-day astronomers. A brown dwarf star is simply a luminary body that failed to ignite like our sun did. Basically, it has mass, it has heat, it does not have the kind of color. That's why they call them brown dwarfs. They're like a muddy red. One of the reasons that they can't detect this particular body is because the range of light that it gives off is not easily detected that far.
Well, it's not easily detected, Aurora, because it's in the infrared band.
Well, thank you for having me on, Dick.
X, yes. Welcome to the show, Aurora.
Thank you. Yeah, I told you, you have, here at Vortex Network News, we have the most beautiful, beautiful broadcasting studio I've ever been in. And I've been from, I think that this brown dwarf star, as they call it, is what the Chinese had that red dragon plastered all over everything for.
And it's spoken about in the Book of the Revelation, too.
I wonder if
as the great red dragon.
I wonder if the Chinese have anything in their ancient literature about this red dragon.
Oh, yes. They Ann Eller, I believe, wrote a book about this.
Oh, yeah. Dragon in the Sky.
Yes. And she spoke about how the Chinese observed the sun coming up twice in one day.
Yeah, that would be get you, wouldn't it?
That would be interesting, wouldn't it, folks?
Get your attention.
Yes.
That'd be a good day to hang your laundry outside. So
yes,
they talk
X.
about in Revelations the earth being scorched.
Now, it's going to be here before 2018. You know, as we talked about on your show, you know, we left off talking about this.
This is really the second part of all this newsworthy stuff we're talking about here concerning not only the expo that...
Yeah, well, how this all plugs into
that I'm
the
putting
expo
on in, in Phoenix that I'm putting on. This Planet X is going to make the kind of like the wake-up call.
Right.
For everybody to get real now and to stop, you know, just thinking about short-term gratification.
Me, huh?
And start thinking about developing communities that are sustainable.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what this Planet X thing is going to cause.
Yeah, I think neighbors are going to have to kind of unite.
Now, some people think that it won't be coming in until 2050. But if you look at Bible prophecy, it's very clear that we'll see this thing within 2018 coming in.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was thinking about is the underground shelters they had in the 50s underneath all the elementary schools.
Right.
Libraries, places like that, city halls. You'd see the little signs up that you knew you could go in there. It would be a little black square with a yellow circle in it with a triangle in it. It was a square with a circle and a triangle.
I wonder how useful those places are now.
Yeah, that's
what
I was
wondering. If they didn't fill them in or...
Yeah, what did they happen to all those places? That's what I was just wondering.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all these underground facilities nowadays are going to have to be converted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember seeing those fallout shelters.
Yeah.
You know, under these schools.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Every community had one every mile or two.
Yeah.
Every few miles, there was one.
And now there's no call for that at all. The silence is deafening, isn't it?
Yeah.
So let's play a little bit more of this clip that Sheldon Day put together.
Awesome.
It's awesome.
That far away in space. And I also believe that it's coming in from the southern quadrant, and therefore coming in from behind the sun. This orbit is greatly...
Okay, let's pause that right there, the southern quadrant. And I had a few emails on my e-group here just a few weeks ago saying, well, what observatory is this? You know what? And there's an observatory down in Australia, and it has the nickname Wormwood.
Isn't that strange? Which Wormwood is what it's called in Revelations of the Bible.
Yeah.
And why would they name the observatory Wormwood?
Yeah, it's kind of like their nickname.
And that's where the Vatican has theirs.
And, folks, you can just do a Google search on it. I mean, it's there. About this place down in Australia, this observatory.
Can you put that up on Vortex Network News for a link for people?
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I can do that.
That would be swell.
And they have a number of paragraphs talking about their search for Wormwood down in the southern hemisphere.
Now, who's they?
Now, isn't that a
who's
coincidence?
They? Who's they? Who is they?
This observatory. You know, it's run by scientists, and they're
you don't
know
the name of it.
Well, anyone can do a search on it.
All right.
Wormwood facility. Wormwood Observatory down in Australia.
Just well, I wonder if we can get them to come to our expo and come to our expo and tell us what they're observing.
Mm-hmm.
Greatly elonged. By the way, I also believe is a sister sun to our sun that we see every day
okay.
when we wake up in the morning.
Well, there are some who believe that we have a binary star system.
Who's that interviewing? George.
Sounds like George.
Yeah, George Norrie. And that was the end of it, huh? He didn't want to go
things
too
things happening. You know, building the Denver airport
it's
and spending
scary.
All that money. I mean, they're still working on that Denver airport 17 years later. And it typically takes about 2 years to build an airport, and they're still working on that thing. Yeah, the Denver
can
airport,
we start that?
You know, they built it, this high-tech roof out of this Kevlar-like material. And also, it's built on these gigantic metal poles, okay, which... I would tend to think, possibly, that could be used to thwart coronal mass ejections, or EMPs, basically, so that it's all grounded out. In order to stop an EMP, you have to ground it out. And they built that airport with a Kevlar roof that's attached to these gigantic-looking lightning rods.
We, of course, have a situation in which we have the government moving a lot of these alphabet soup agencies to higher ground. You have the Denver International Airport, which is a real enigma in itself. You have just a number of strange things going on. Of course, the Norway seed vault, the Norwegian spiral.
Governor Jesse Ventura went down and got the hard evidence. He went.
Well, Michael Elijah and myself in the early 80s became aware of the Denver, or was it late 80s, I guess, the Denver airport. And through the DVD that was released, or back then it was a video, I think, called Pandora's Box. And I really suggest people, in fact, Bill, if you could put an excerpt of Pandora's Box up, that would be awesome. I wonder if there's anything on YouTube about Pandora's Box that we can play for our listeners. It is mind-blowing. All right, so we'll look into that for one of our future shows here. I've interviewed her many times, the lady who did that.
He went on his television program down into Cheyenne Mountain. I don't know how he was allowed there, but he took the videotapes and had his older films with his producer, Michael Braverman, and Michael Braverman spoke to the colonel who was in charge of security down there at these underground facilities for the powerful and elite of the world in Colorado. Under the mountain, Colonel Wynn said, you people are not going to, no one's going to get in here. We have these huge, massive, multi-ton steel doors, and they're going to be locked shut when the crises occur. And by the time you get here, you're not going to be hit. You can knock all day. You can't get in. That's what Colonel Wynn, who was
what
in charge of
this?
Security at the
not
underground
sure
facility in Colorado.
Colorado, I guess, is just going to be crawling with
underground
with the New World Order.
Why the underground bases? Why the underground train? There's been rumors of cities, tunnels, underground.
Yeah, well, Colorado is going to be the headquarters, the world headquarters of the Illuminati.
Well, it really actually is. There's a place there. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Shirley MacLaine was going to do her headquarters there. You know, she's black opt. You know, she's black opt controlled. Her whole life has been with Britton Lee Elders, you know, babysitting her over there in New Mexico where she is now. But I'm trying to remember the name of the area there in Colorado where the Vatican has this place. Along with, I'm trying to remember, Crestone. It's called Crestone, Colorado. Crestone, Colorado is where the Vatican has a place.
Really?
And, oh yes, and many others. It is the New World Order, New Age, New World Order capital.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they've got tons of New Age people there that hang out there. Danny Sheehan. And just lots and lots of people who are part of the elite
mm-hmm.
group that are probably selected for survival.
Underground railways? What are we talking about here? He says they have tunnels that lead to from New York to California and to many different places, and you can travel up to speeds of Mach 2.
Now, what is Mach 2? I'm ignorant on that Mach.
Twice the speed of sound.
Wow.
It's like, I don't know, 1,500 miles per hour.
He said you can be in California and be in New York in hours, in just a few hours. And he says it's incredible. He said there's underground cities, underground lighting, underground travel. I've had many confirmations of this, that right outside, I think it's 20...
I wonder if they have an underground mall.
They really are in the Buck Rogers area of development, and we're back here in the Stagecoach.
Yeah.
It's really feel ripped off.
It's 20 miles offshore Honolulu. There is a base that is deep under water. And I can actually take you to ancient writings that will tell you there is things under the water. And I can take you to oil companies that know there are things under the water.
And Colorado has more classified material underground there and more computing power, quantum computing, than all the rest of the planet put together by a very large order of magnitude. And most of these facilities are in underground cities. And I was in one of them, and it was very impressive. It's Schriever Air Force Base, east 18 miles east of Colorado Springs. And the facility, the main facility building is actually underground, about a quarter mile. It was shielded in 2.5 inches of seamless stainless steel, ringed by an anti-missile system and scalar weapons, as well as a full tactical division of Star Wars weaponry. There's 132 under the United States, an average of 5.36 to 7.24 cubic miles in size, an average of 1.5 to 4.5 miles underground. Built, by and large, most of them in areas away from geotectonic areas, but there's going to be lots of new geotectonic faults established when you have force 11, 12, and 13 and 14 earthquakes that hit the Earth.
Now, where is this 11, 12, 13 earthquakes where? Can you back that up a bit? My headset. It's all on my noodle.
11, 12, and 13 and 14 earthquakes that hit the Earth.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, he's talking about the seismic?
Yes.
11, 12, and 14?
Right, you know.
That's huge.
You know, they changed the way we number the earthquakes in intensity.
Right.
Yeah, they lowered the numbers so we wouldn't know they're as bad as they are. They actually changed.
Yes, I heard about that.
Yeah, they changed the way we judge the intensity,
mm-hmm.
so it's not to frighten people too as much.
Well, I'll tell you right now, 11, 12, and 14 on the Richter scale,
yeah,
that's incredibly
high. Yeah, the
Richter
scale was actually adjusted recently.
Uh-huh.
See if you can find something on that for our future show, mm-hmm. Bill, about the Richter scale.
The earth, as it says in the Bible, will shake like a hut. Why are they rushing to do this? Because they know a catastrophe is coming. And where's this money coming from? It's not coming from our regular block-out budgets. It's coming from the illegal sale of drugs.
And I would guess if they're building seed banks for seeds, these tunnels must be for the folks they want to keep behind.
Yeah, and see, that raises a real question. If, see, I'm inclined to believe that...
Let's pause that. One of my coworkers, he just couldn't believe our government is involved in selling illegal drugs. And here it is, documented. It admitted that they are. He just couldn't believe it. He had to deny it, that it was happening.
And well, yet, most people don't know that that our CIA is incredibly involved in, well, I would say actually promoting the child pornography industry.
Mm-hmm.
Actually placing orders for child pornography with suppliers.
Mm.
And protecting the suppliers.
Mm-hmm.
President Ford was a pornography supplier, and it's in the book Transformation of America. I suggest everyone read Mark Phillips, who was a former CIA agent, and Kathy O'Brien, who was a CIA sex slave, their book that they have out, Transformation of America. It'll curl your hair.
That the people should be told, George, if there's going to be cataclysm upcoming, and the federal alphabet soup and other agencies around the world know that there is an excellent chance that this is going to happen. I really believe that people should be informed.
Absolutely. We're supposed to elect a government to serve us.
Those who lavish our money served on themselves, so that they can make expensive and sophisticated preparations for their survival in the event that bad things happen to the planet, while making no provision for the survival of others and not even informing others of what is about to come down. In my view, that is not only unethical, it is borderline evil.
But as far as underground bases, facilities, and shelters, there's actually quite a few of those. Cheyenne Mountain is one. Mount Weather is another one. It's worth looking into because they have been hollowing out these facilities, which, again, you know, there's something to be said for an underground shelter. However, if you're dealing with floods as well, then you want a shelter inside a mountain, something that's above sea level already. So, yeah.
There were over 650 attendees to the 1959 RAND Symposium. Most were representatives of the corporate industrial state, like the General Electric Company, AT&T, Hughes Aircraft, Northrop Corporation, Sandia Corporation, Colorado School of Mines, etc. Bechtel is a super secret international corporate octopus founded in 1898. Some say the firm is really a shadow government,
Bechtel,
a working arm of the CIA. It is the largest construction of engineering outfit in the USA and the world. The most important posts in the USA government are held by former Bechtel officers. They are a part of the web, which links the Trilaterals plans, the CFR, the Order of Illuminism, and other interlocking groups. How about the corporations that are building and working on these things? Just to name a few, GE, Bechtel, Lockheed Martin, and the RAND Corporation.
The map that is on my DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You, showing the new coastline in North America. About the same time, the federal government gave NASA the responsibility for developing the cover story. They knew what would happen 30 years in the future, which is right now, that things would be getting very strange and very bizarre. The cover story they picked was global warming, created by man-made CO2 greenhouse gases.
Bring on the bazaar. Here it comes. You think it was bizarre before, folks? You didn't see nothing yet, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Going to take you on a journey to the end of the earth to show you a place that might someday save humankind. It's a bank built to last 10,000 years.
One in Norway.
If you could clear away the ice, you'd see that, officially, the bank is called the Svalbard Global Seed Vault. It's built to warehouse backup copies of all the world's crops, 1.5 billion seeds. If an asteroid strikes the Earth,
1.5 billion seeds.
You got to wonder which seeds they're using, though.
Monsanto's or the organic.
Yes. And we just heard, folks, that Monsanto, this is in their documentation, that they're developing, or they have developed, an aluminum-resistant gene.
Yeah, so they can spray their chemtrails.
Right.
I hear that species are dying in the forests in Northern California. That farmers there are noticing that insects are dying and species are dying of plants.
Probably
this is all
because
of the chemtrails.
The spray program.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They heavily spray Northern California. They don't want those people getting loose, you know. They're probably the
Strikes
most conscious
the
people on
Seeds
Earth.
Seeds to restart agriculture would come from here. Norway paid for construction. Bill Gates paid for the shipping. And seeds from nearly every nation are locked inside.
Not 40 years in the future. Now, take the seed vault up in Norway. If they knew they needed a seed vault 40 years in the future, would they spend all that money to get it done in 6 months? I doubt Bill Gates would be really all that concerned about building a building that wouldn't be needed for 40 years.
Right.
I know he has a lot of money to spend, but he certainly wouldn't throw it away.
No, he's not frivolous with spending
money. No, he's not. Right.
No.
Oh, the cave cities, of course, NASA has been big in building cave cities. Remember the big jumbo jet? It flew actually into Minneapolis International Airport over the pole from Russia. It had this gigantic tunneling bit in it, the only plane in the world that could transport this and get it over to the United States. Then it had to make a gas stop in Minneapolis International Airport, which was the only runway big enough and heavy enough to land this plane. Then that plane flew to Houston, where it went to NASA. And that was very clear evidence that NASA was involved in tunneling with giant cave-making machines. These are nuclear-powered cave-making machines. As the heat comes off the engine, the big generator, and then the electric motor, there's a lot of heat involved. And, of course, in just grinding out the cave, these are big circular caves. There's a lot of heat involved, so it actually solidifies and creates a glass tunnel as it goes.
Glass tunnel.
Michael saw.
These are all over the country.
Michael saw that.
Yeah, he saw the glass tunnel in Mount Shasta.
Now, when was that?
This was back in the 70s. So we didn't think it was. He didn't think it was government. They downloaded to him upstairs that it was an ET, ancient Atlantean, Lemurian. Mm-hmm.
So now we're doing it.
Yeah, of course.
Well, we're not doing it. The the Black Ops are doing it. And NASA?
Yeah, NASA's right there.
In many parts of the country now, NASA has been very busy building cave cities, and of course, preparation for an object that could come into the solar system from afar, that they were researching back in the 80s under a guy named Harrington, under contract to NASA from the Naval Observatory. The Queen going to NASA, Goddard Space Flight Center, clearly that's her cave central office, just a little hop over the pond, so to speak, and there's the Queen on U.S. soil. Now, understand that England is not a good place to put caves, so the Queen does not have her own cave facility in England. It just wouldn't happen. The underground structure in England as an island is too small. So the bottom line is that the Queen is just establishing her quarters in this country.
Well, you have to wonder about that. Why, if that's good enough for the seeds over there in Norway, isn't it good enough for the Queen? I don't quite get that part about storing the seeds over there.
Well, you can close the door on it and seal it.
Right. And then just lift it out of the water.
And then probably fill it with nitrogen or something, you know, some inert gas.
And then just lift it out of the water. It's
no,
a vault.
No, just leave it there.
It's a vault.
Yeah.
That can be lifted out of the water, I suppose.
No. No, no. This thing's into the bedrock.
Into the bedrock.
I know. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but, you know, it's interesting that the queen's coming over here because the queen owns the United States. Did you know that?
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you see, the Civil War was about the dismantling of the Republic, the United States. And after shortly after that, after the Civil War, it became a corporation. Okay, United, that's in the actual code, folks, that the United States is a corporation. You know, they dismantled the Republic. And who owns that corporation? It is the Queen of England that owns.
When was this document drawn up? This corporation one?
No, it's
after
there.
Ours or before it?
No, this was after the Civil War.
So the Declaration of Independence, was that before?
No, it's all gone now. You know, there's no Constitution, folks. This is not a constitutional republic. You know, I want to make that perfectly clear. And so this is the United States is a corporation. This corporation is owned by the Queen. Okay? A lot of people don't know that. People live in a dream world. Okay? This is a dream world of the Matrix. And they really have no concept of reality whatsoever. But this Planet X will bring it home, folks. I guarantee you. It will.
They'll figure out that the government isn't their best friend.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Because obviously something momentous is about to happen. Most people kind of feel in their guts that the globalist fact that they're not protecting the grid, that the Congress puts through a bill to protect the grid from a coronal mass ejection, which every regular, even regular scientists are saying, and yet the Senate blocks it, stops it. Something terrible is coming, and they can almost feel it. That's why the economy is having these shutters. We see the housing sales dropping. Something is going to happen between now and next summer that's going to change the whole psychology of the planet. And they're talking about, quote, first contact as well with, quote, ET, which we know are the fallen ones. People need to get prepared for the fact that we're going to be on a level that's going to transcend normal, what I call, day-to-day reality, whereby next summer, according to some of the scientists that I've had been in contact with, they'll start seeing an object in the southern hemisphere that doesn't belong there. And once people start to get the word out, they're not going to be able to keep the lid on this. Yeah, you'll be able to get some binoculars in your backyard or a decent backyard telescope. And you'll be able to see it. You won't need an infrared telescope or an X-ray telescope or the South Pole telescope that's been watching it for years. You'll be able to see it with a good your backyard telescope or high-powered binoculars.
But there's more than one object.
Yes.
So what will be seen as naked eye visible next summer, all the talking heads will come out and say, oh, yep, there it is, but see, it is not on a collision course with Earth, and they will be right. That is sure. Not the object of concern.
That'll be the spin right there.
We also will be dodging an asteroid. A small asteroid will zip close by Earth on Tuesday. The asteroid is called 2010 TD54. It'll fly within 28,000 miles of the planet Earth. Dr. Sky, Stephen Cates on with us. Stephen, so we luck out on this one, but you know what? Just might be a matter of time, huh?
Absolutely, George. The object is maybe some 23 feet in diameter. A most interesting object, because this object only discovered a few days ago.
You hear that, folks? I mean, they're discovering these asteroids just, you know, within days.
Yeah. You know? And you don't hear anything about them beforehand, only afterwards.
Right, right.
They don't tell you they're coming,
mm-hmm.
except for the day before. You hear it the day before on the news, and when they've known about it for a long time.
Well, actually, they're just recent discoveries coming out of nowhere. Oh, I don't think so. Okay.
No. No, that's BS. They have been observing these asteroids coming at us. And
we know that there's a huge debris field associated with Planet X. You know, as this brown dwarf comes in here, it's going to be throwing huge amounts of debris
who knows, maybe we don't have that kind of warning in the future when an object much bigger might come by.
Yeah. Apparently we're getting no warning.
They don't want to tell us.
Barry Satoro, a.k.a. the president, he made his case to NASA workers in Florida on Thursday for abandoning plans to return to the moon, and instead we need to aim for asteroids.
NASA's Hubble Space Telescope has captured what scientists believe are the first images of a collision between two asteroids. Remarkable. The images taken from January to May with Hubble's
astronomical
Wide Field
Camera 3 collision
show a bizarre X-shaped
of two asteroids,
objects, the likes of which astronomers have never seen before.
I mean, the odds of two asteroids colliding.
The likes of which astronomers have never seen before, and yet, where was it on CNN?
Yeah.
Where was it?
I mean, the odds of that is just astronomical.
Where was it in our mainstream news?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't there.
Never seen before.
And because we like to at least try to end the day, if not the week, with some good news, while it was a little tough this week, we found something. It was bad news for Jupiter, actually. Look at this loop of video shot by an amateur astronomer. It shows Jupiter getting hit by what was a massive fireball, apparently an asteroid or a comet, attempting to enter our solar system.
Now, that's what we heard. Stop it right here.
One astronomer put it, quote, Jupiter took one.
Yeah, we got to back that up a little bit. We heard about this, Bill, that it came in, this planet X, at the southern end of our hemisphere, of our solar system, and passed by Jupiter and created some havoc. We heard about that, and that Saturn, it took off the rings on Saturn. Yeah, I've heard that from listening to the news and stuff. It was supposedly affected the rings on Saturn.
Really?
Yeah.
Jupiter took one for the team, helping life on Earth evolve without too many impact events to ruin our day.
You know, things hit Jupiter a lot more often than we imagined. If you remember back in 1994, we saw this spectacular String of Pearls comet Shoemaker-Levy 9, that dribbled into the atmosphere of Jupiter after being pulled apart the year before by Jupiter's gravity. Last June, telescopic observer in Australia was video monitoring Jupiter and recorded an impact flash into the clouds of Jupiter. So back on June 3rd, Jupiter got hit again. And wouldn't you know it, just about a week and a half ago, August 20th, again a little impact flash into the atmosphere of Jupiter.
Unbelievable.
More frequent.
You're not hearing this on the mainstream news.
Or from mainstream scientists, really.
I mean,
that's why they built Denver Airport, so they can go underground while we all kill each other fighting for the last scraps of food and water and the rest of it. And I say that these guys are criminals, and we ought to do everything we can to prosecute them before Planet X gets here.
That's right.
Planet X is coming around.
That sounds like a good idea.
It happens every 3,600 years, so it's not going to strike the Earth, and we're going to get tidal fluctuations and flooding on the inland coastal areas, and that's why these guys are building all their underground stuff.
Again, I maintain that what this is, it's probably a T-class or an L-class series brown dwarf star. It's basically the second heaviest body in the solar system. It is part of the solar system. It doesn't come into and go out of the solar system. It's the second heaviest body in the solar
system.
This is who?
Gilbert Erickson.
Oh, okay. Second heaviest body in
solar
the solar system.
Are starting up again after a very long hiatus, and they are predicted to be unbelievable. NASA warns that the recent massive flare wasn't an anomaly. It's just the beginning. A massive solar storm is building up that could wipe out Earth's entire power grid. Similar storms in 1959, 1921, 1859 wiped out telegraph wires on a massive scale. NASA says that a similar storm today could cause 1 to 2
$1 trillion in damages to society's high-tech infrastructure and require 4 to 10 years for complete recovery. Can you believe that? Could be the worst and most violent in 100 years.
Kind of drives home sustainability, doesn't it, folks? Should drive that home.
It is a brown dwarf star. It is either a small star or it is a big planet.
Do any of you think there's something going on to the sun that we should be very concerned about? I mean, is there a danger that, you know, it's going to set off a solar flare that could scorch the planet or anything like that?
Well, when we see things we've never seen before, such as that X-28 here, then we have to say, what else haven't we seen? How much more can it go?
Right. Exactly. And if we get hit directly, and George, we probably all three of us have talked with you on the show about that topic, and if we got hit directly with some of these big-time flares, and we've been lucky not to be directly hit, it took out our grid system. I mean, really took it out. Electricity runs everything.
Sure.
How would we replace the components and get this whole operation back up and running?
Well, all the satellites out there.
Well, and I'm concerned not only about the electrical problems we'd have on this planet, but I'm also concerned about the possibility of an actual huge solar flare with these unbelievable hot gases. I mean, they could literally kill the planet. I'm wondering if that has happened in the past.
See, George is on to it. Stop it right there, will you please?
George is on to it, and
I could tell in his voice in the last couple of years when he's been talking to people about this, last year actually it's been, I can tell the fear in his voice that he believes this is true. And, you know, he probably is, you know, selected to be one of the people to go down into the base. He might have already visited bases down below, but does that mean he's going to be able to take his daughter, or he's going to be able to take his this person or that person that he wants to take? Who knows? But I do believe the people like George Norrie probably have been made some promises. If not promises, probably would be selected.
Well, coast to coast must go on.
Yes, it must be broadcast from down way deep in the earth. Very deep.
Yeah.
I'm deep underground.
Too deep.
I'm deep underground, and this is too deep for you to understand.
We know that the power elite have built these underground cities.
That's Bel-Air.
So they're planning on surviving Planet X.
Right.
They know this is coming, and they want to be on the high ground.
Right. The new NASA is going to be out there by Truth or Consequences, you know, what Branson is building out there. And that's partially underground, too.
Well, who was that? That must have been Dr. Houdini, Mr. Bill Alec himself. Playing out there on the internet.
Solar storms change direction, surprising forecasters. September 21st, 2010. Solar storms don't always travel in a straight line, but once they start heading in our direction, they can accelerate rapidly, gathering steam for a harder hit on Earth's magnetic field.
The number one reason for NASA's existence is to explore nearby worlds and outer space in order to find definitive proof of a cyclic catastrophe.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment, Bill.
What the Freemasons had.
We've been discovering in our interviews with people, Bill, that they have a, there's a history of this occurring here. We discovered that very clearly through the carbonation of the North and South Pole. And they haven't they found this red cosmic dust like every 3,600 years?
Well, what they found, I have another clip here, fellow by the who does the Horizon Project, and he talked about a discovery of this material, that the cosmic rays come all the way down to the Earth.
All right.
And that's rather alarming, folks.
What do you mean by that? Cosmic rays.
Well, this is cosmic particles.
Yeah, cosmic rays, what?
Yeah, cosmic rays coming all the way down to the planet surface, which is rather alarming.
Now, what do you mean by cosmic rays? What does that consist of?
Yeah, this guy's name is Brent Miller.
What does cosmic rays consist of?
Well, this is the interstellar particles.
Which would be what?
Well, that's traveling between stars. Probably
interstellar
emitted
particles.
By supernova and traveling at very high speeds. Little particles.
Particles
and
of
dust?
And
for some reason they discovered that these particles come all the way down to the Earth. And I read a story just a few weeks ago that they're observing, it was a station down in Antarctica, that is picking up an abnormal amount of cosmic particles coming in.
Are you out of time?
From the southern hemisphere.
Are we out of time?
Let me check. Yeah, we're just about out of time again.
Oh, my goodness. All right, stay tuned for the Cosmic Connection, folks, to be continued.
Yes. And, well, we just have a little bit of this left. But
to be continued.
To be continued, folks. Yes. And I want to thank you for being here today, Aurora. It's been delightful. Your insight into the matters of Planet X.
Well, I just look at it this way. We'll see what we're going to see, and we'll do the best we can to prepare for it, each one of us, and each in our own way. And we're doing our best here at Vortex Network News to present this information to those of you around the world. And please share it with your friends and loved ones, neighbors. Let's get it rocking, folks.
Get it rocking.